It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Tuesday, 5 o'clock, here on Fan Run Radio. It's Russell, it's Bear, it's Marcus Young, and it's you, a Tuesday afternoon. And Marcus, with your Top 5 at 5, brought to you today by Linderman Sports Medicine. Marcus, what you got?
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, the Big Ten is nearing a finalizing of a new media right agreement that will add CBS and NBC to the league's lineup while ending a long-term partnership with ESPN. Fox will still remain the Big Ten's main media partner, and they even had representatives attend negotiations with other potential partners during the past few months. The Big Ten's six-year media right deal with Fox and ESPN is set to expire in 2023.
And its total value is approaching $1 billion a year for the Big Ten, which I believe, if my math is correct, and if they're dividing it evenly 16 ways, is over $62 million per school per year in just television money.
It's insane.
That'll pay for a couple of buyouts.
I just don't understand.
But they still don't. Still not giving the players any cut of that money, huh?
That's where the money should be coming from.
Yeah.
From media to the players, yeah.
Well, they should be cut in on it. Absolutely. It would have prevented all this NIL silliness. This charade. Yeah.
I think it's probably headed that way. I still think
it won't until the players unionize.
Put that money into other sports. Put all the baseball players on full scholarship, all the men's athletes on full scholarship. If you got to add women's sports to make it Title IX, then do it and make it all full scholarship. Get rid of this.
I mean, how many buildings do you need?
In a day and age where one year of college tuition is approaching $20,000, $30,000 where you're going, like what good is putting somebody on 15% scholarship? I mean, come on, what are we doing here? Especially when you're televising all these games.
So Tennessee's had a started competing in like gymnastics, way Georgia and some of the other SEC schools. They got to be the number one team in the country. Would you follow it?
I mean, I don't know. I would. I wouldn't not follow it. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I've never seen it. Probably not. I mean, I'm assuming we have a good tennis program, good men's tennis program. I don't really follow it, so no, I would say.
Number 2, speaking
But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have that if it means that the baseball team is on full scholarship.
Agreed.
Which we can obviously afford to do in the age of $1 billion per year TV contracts. I'm sorry, Marcus. Go ahead.
That's okay. Number 2, speaking of tennis, Serena Williams has announced her tennis farewell, saying it is one of the hardest things that she could ever imagine. The probably greatest female tennis player of all time, if not the greatest in general. Serena Williams, who has won a record 23 Grand Slam single titles, is stepping away from tennis after a 27-year professional career.
You're saying greatest in general. What does that mean, Marcus?
I think she might be probably the greatest men and women's.
You think Serena Williams could be the greatest tennis player regardless
of
sex?
This is my personal opinion. You can disagree with it if you like, Russell.
You know you're wrong.
Come on, man. Now, I will say,
not to go all John McEnroe here, but like she plays against men all the time and like men you've never heard of and gets destroyed. I don't want to get into it, but like there's a reason we have women's sports.
But now as far as what she means to her sport, I think she's put herself, she's on that same level with Jordan, Tiger Woods.
Look, I don't know who the second best women's player, like Navratilova, Steffi Graf, somebody like that, but the gap between number 2 and her is it's a chasm. Yeah. Okay. Chasm. It's big.
That's not like I have my own opinions about a sport I don't watch. Am I not allowed to?
Well, not if it's just blatantly wrong.
Serena Williams.
Come on, man.
During a Vogue September issue, is preparing her farewell as she is now 40, and has decided that she wants to make a transition. As she put it, she doesn't like the word retirement.
I mean, how many kids does she have now? Is it just one? I know that she just recently, within the past couple of years, had a baby. She's ready to start a different chapter of her life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame her.
No.
Number three, LIV golf players that are suing the PGA Tour, which we've talked about, according to Scottie Scheffler, it's frustrating that these players have decided to sue the PGA. A federal judge in California is going to potentially be making a decision here soon whether to grant a temporary restraining order that will allow three golfers who left the PGA Tour for LIV Golf to participate in the FedEx Cup playoffs starting this week.
Yeah, and that could come down. That decision could come down any minute now.
Yeah.
And I saw there were some rumblings that it was not going to go well for the LIV golfers.
It probably won't go in their favor. But I can understand that frustration.
I hope they don't get to play, man. I saw where the Cam Smith thing is final, and Mark Leishman is reportedly headed towards LIV too. So, I mean, they can just continue to raid. It's not just the guys that are kind of washed up or going through injury problems or not fully committed anymore. I mean, they got the guy just won British Open. So.
Yeah. Number four, some just NFL news. As mentioned before, the Browns are fearing that they will lose Ya'Keem Grant to a torn Achilles, their wide receiver and kick returner, which is obviously a shame. They're going to be doing some tests to find out there. The Jets also have a player that they might be losing for the season. Mekhi Becton is heading for an MRI after a potential season-ending knee injury during practice. Two players who have been seen as very important to their teams. Obviously, Becton hasn't shown the potential that they hoped out of him, but they felt really good about what he was doing, and it's a shame to see those two players potentially have their seasons taken away so soon.
Ask you a hypothetical, because for some reason to me, and this happens every year in training camp, guys tear ACLs, Achilles, stuff like that, end up missing the entire season, and it's always such a drag. But I wonder if you were going to have one of those injuries, and you knew you were going to miss about a year, it was going to take you about a year to get back of intense rehabilitation and all that stuff, would you rather it happen now, before the season starts, and you have a full year and theoretically could be back to full speed by the time training camp starts next year? Or would you rather have it happen in the middle of a season or even the late half of the season, where not only do you miss a potential playoff run, it hurts your team and all that stuff, but the recovery process could drag into the next season and you're not going to be 100% by the time the next year starts?
Yeah, that's a tough question, because I think it also depends on the position. You know, for example, if you were to lose like one of your starting tackles, your left tackle, for example, at the beginning of the season, do you have enough time to pull somebody in potentially from free agency, or do you feel like your backup's good enough to fill in for that full year while waiting for him? Like, for example, let's not use an example. Like Becton, we'll use him since he is hurt. Will you be able to find that replacement to fill in for him in time for the season while you wait for him to recover for next year? Mid-season, I feel like, would be even harder, and then you have that addition of it's bleeding into next season. So maybe at the beginning of the year, maybe you're right.
Yeah, if it's going to happen and it gives your team more time to adjust and come up with a plan B and stuff like that. It's just weird. You never know how the human body is going to respond to that either. Look at what's going on right now with Robert Woods.
Yeah.
I mean, he tore his ACL, at the end of October, I want to say?
Yeah.
That's the reason the Rams had to go out and get Beckham, right? Yeah. It was because of that injury. And ironically, Beckham tears up his knee in the Super Bowl. And Robert Woods, who is maybe 8 months out or so, I mean, they say he looks fine in Titans training camp right now and is going to be ready to go for week one.
Which, that's, speaking of Beckham, he's another guy that has yet to be signed, which is surprising. He's still a free agent currently.
Oh, Beckham is?
Yeah. He wants to go back to the Rams. I don't know if they have the financial.
Teams are just wondering, where he's at with the knee.
I think that's part of it. I think he does want to be back with the Rams. I think they want him back, too. But he's, money-wise, I literally think they have sense at this point, especially after, Wagner and all that. And then finally, at number five.
Maybe you can go back to the Browns.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they have plenty of money available to give out, too. Finally, at number five, an 85-year-old message in a bottle was found inside a New Zealand monument. Officials in Christchurch, New Zealand, said a crew demolishing an old monument made an unusual discovery, finding a message in a bottle from the original stonemason team.
So that's what, 1940-something?
1937.
Wow.
The damaged note inside contained the list of names of the stonemasons who originally constructed the monument. The Brent Smith, the council's head of the capital delivery, said it was a bit of a fluke discovery, as the contractor was working on dismantling the concrete core of the memorial, and a big chunk of the concrete broke off, revealing the glass bottle inside.
How about that?
A little bit of a treasure trove.
I like stuff like that. It's cool.
That makes me think of, have you ever heard of The Secret? It's like a book called The Secret.
Yeah, it's like the Law of Attraction.
No, it's this guy wrote this book. Byron Price wrote a book called The Secret. And within it, he had a bunch of like treasures that he hid around in major cities.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, did...
I'm like...
There's somebody who...
This might come as a surprise to you too, but not a big treasure hunter.
That's fun. Shocking because every time I look at you, I think, I wonder if Bear's that buried treasure this weekend.
Can I just say, since I brought that up super quick, because I'm genuinely obsessed with this topic.
Wow. Peeling back another layer of the onion here, young Marcus
okay.
Young.
Okay.
He buried 12 different treasures.
The Secret did?
Yeah. He buried 12 of them in different major cities across the United States and Canada in like famous parks back in like 1982, 1983 is when he did it. And since he wrote that book, only three have been found. One was in 83, one was in 2004, and one was 2019.
I remember the...
There was a TV show.
This is how we're going to lose one. Marcus whenever he exits.
I'm going to be on a treasure hunt? Is that what you're
Let's
saying?
Let's go, find one, go find one of these. So it's things. A book, and the clues are in the book. They're like riddles and poems and stuff, and so you have to decipher it.
He's got, like, there's a big... The main part of the book is very interesting. It's about, like, fantasy stuff. But inside, in between that, he has photos and poems that match. The photos were drawn by the guy who did a lot of...
How do you draw a photo?
Okay. Paintings of just images that are supposed to provide clues to locations.
Oh, illustrations.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, Bear, that I'm not as great with
who
English.
Who did it? Who did the...
The guy who actually did the drawings, he did a lot of H.P. Lovecraft kind of artwork. So they're really, really cool designs and things like that. And there's the guy... Who does like a discovery show? Who does a lot of this stuff?
Didn't somebody did a few haven't, episodes haven't on it. There have been a few people die like looking for some of this stuff? And
probably,
I feel like there was some buried treasure that somebody died looking for.
They're all in national parks or like public parks and stuff. Apparently, what he had done was he actually dressed up like a construction worker, like a vest and everything, so that nobody would tell him to leave, so he could bury these. Because now, like if. You have to get permission from the city
to go and
to dig.
Hunt for the treasure.
Yeah, you need permission. Otherwise, you get like,
let's
go. Trouble.
Let's find the treasure. How much is there's like millions of dollars in treasure.
They
isn't
give
it?
You it's like a jewel. It's and you can either keep the jewel or you can
How much is the jewel worth?
Each of the jewels are for like each of the months of the year. Like so,
you're not
rubies.
Answering my question. How much are they worth?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, it's
depends
it's
on what
different.
You find.
Yeah,
depends on which one. If you find an emerald
what,
to a ruby,
what is the least valuable? Jewel worth. I mean, ballpark it for me. $1 million, $100,000? Because if it's like $10,000, I'm not gonna go look for it.
But I'll be honest with you, based on the fact that what this treasure is, if you find one, I'm sure someone on eBay or wherever will be like, I will give you millions.
You take it
of
to auction and get more than the actual value of the gemstones.
The fact that these have been missing for years.
God, that would be so awesome.
The closest city
to be completely obsessed with some Don Quixote-like quest to go on. Treasure you're never going to find.
Oh. The closest one that has...
Bear's going to crap all over your idea, Marcus. I'm sorry.
Have you seen this pile?
I think it's cool.
Thank you.
I just think it's cool that somebody would do that. That somebody would go and, like, I'm going to bury all this stuff and then write a book about it and see if people... So, like, you go find it. Do you contact the guy and say, look, I found it? Like, how
so
do you...
So, he actually passed away. I think
That's
it was in...
Too bad.
Early 2000s, I think he only found out that two people found it. Only he knows the location.
Oh, I thought he passed it down to like his.
No, so his family
beneficiaries are they don't know.
No,
well, who knows?
So the idea is that if you do find one, you bring it to his benefactor, his family, all that, and they will in return give you the jewel for the key that you find. Because that's the whole treasure. It's like you find this key, you send it to his.
Well, how do they know that you found the real key? Would you make a forgery?
Because the woman that made the key and the little casket comes in.
She can confirm it? Well, what happens when she dies?
Because there was a guy in San Francisco who tried to fake one.
Sure.
So I don't know. Maybe she has like images that she's made of each one. Mm. But yeah, so he died and he was the only one that knew the locations. Didn't write it down on a note saying, just in case I die. Because I don't think he expected it to last as long as
how many? There are hundreds of people out there searching for these things, right? Oh, yeah. Just trekking through national parks with ice picks and shovels. And
yeah, you can go online. There's a few websites. People are like even using like, you know, longitude, trying to figure like certain things out. Like,
do you hear there is kind of similar. There is some guy out there who had some of the original Bitcoin. He's got like $10 million worth of Bitcoin.
No, it's more than that.
On a hard drive.
Yeah.
And he threw out the hard drive before Bitcoin blew up and became he bought it just on a whim. It's like, cryptocurrency. Like, and he's got it all on this hard drive, and he threw the hard drive away. And they think they know what landfill the hard drive is. It's like in L.A. County somewhere. And so just like this huge thing. And some Japanese company, or maybe it's just a guy, I don't know, have basically hired a team of people to go search for this hard drive through the landfill. They're looking for it. If they find it, it's going to be, you know, tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah. When Bitcoin was at its peak, it was like something like $250-300 million.
It's insane.
Would you go
through a landfill? I don't know if I could do that. So you know what's crazy? So the one that they found in 2019 was in Boston, and the park that it was supposed to be at was an old baseball park. Because part of the clue was
what park was it? Was it? Do you remember the name?
I'd have to look it up real quick. I can find it, but it was they redid it. Because part of the clue was that saying when you get back home, this is where you'll find me or something like that, which is meaning home plate. And they reconstructed the entire ballpark to be a new park. So they actually had to ask the digging crew if they could look around, and they found broken pieces of what they were looking for. So that's the other issue, is that, you know,
some of the
parks
stuff has been built over
1983, you know, 1983.
Thank you, Marcus. By the way, Top 5 and 5 brought to you this afternoon by our friends at Linderman Sports Medicine. Check them out online at LindermanSportsMedicine.com. Proud to partner with them for the upcoming football season. Find out why folks come from all over East Tennessee, all over the Volunteer State, and beyond to take part in the miracles of modern regenerative medicine at Linderman Sports Medicine. They're located in Memphis. People come from all over to get back in the game of life without going under the knife. LindermanSportsMedicine.com. Tell them Fan Run Radio in Knoxville sent you. Quick timeout. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time. What you talking about? Champions League round 2. When we continue, Matt, Nick, and Brent will contest amongst themselves to see who moves on to join Matty Ice in Thursday's maybe championship round of What You Talk About here in the year of our Lord 2022. Unbelievable. Stay with us. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online at fanrunradio.com and your free Fan Run app, a variety of ways for you, yes you, to experience the program this afternoon. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have our three contestants here. We do?
Yes.
Matt, Nick, and Brent are here with us to find out who will advance in what you talk about, Champions League action. Here we go. Hit it, Bear.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
All right, Champions League round two. Matt is our first contestant. He was our last contestant. Matty Ice sliding into Champions League championship round yesterday. Matt, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. They're two different Matts. It's not the same guy. Matt, you are first up today, so you got to set the tone. How you feeling, brother?
A little nervous, but, you know, just excited for the opportunity. And I've got a pretty sweet gift coming if I win today for Matty Ice. So.
Oh, very nice. All right. I don't know how I feel about this collaboration, but all right, here we go. I'm nervous too, Matt. We're going to do this together, brother. You got this. Just breathe. It's going to be all good. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. This is a former American tennis player. You cannot be serious.
John McEnroe.
This is the granddaddy of them all in Pasadena.
Rose Bowl.
This is a movie with Kevin Costner. If you build it, they will come.
Field of Dreams.
This is a women's basketball player that just got out or is in prison in Russia.
Brittany Griner.
This is an actor who is in Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison.
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, this is ESPN's highlight show. Da-da-da, da-da-da.
Sports Center.
This is a postal company, Brown. What can Brown do for you?
Yeah,
this is former head coach of Florida and Ohio State, the Jaguars. Yeah, this is, I would have gotten away for it if it weren't for you lousy kids, Shaggy.
Pat.
This is what happens in baseball when the ball is not hit in play.
Foul ball.
Yeah, this is the nickname of LSU Stadium.
Tiger Stadium.
The nickname, it's also a desert.
Oh, Death Valley.
Yeah, this is a monument in Paris.
Eiffel Tower.
This is Philadelphia's basketball team.
Sixers.
This is a former quarterback. Oh, all right. Out of time there. I feel like that was pretty darn good. I feel like Matt just stepped up and set the damn tone right there.
It was 12.
12?
Yep, that's what I got as well.
I thought it was actually more. All right. Matt, you skipped on Scooby-Doo. And I might not have given you the best clue there.
I kind of blanked on that one. As soon as I passed, I was like,
yeah,
I got that one.
You're kicking yourself.
But it happens.
All right, man. Hang right there. We'll see what our other contestants do. Let's bring in Nick, who is up next. Nick, how you doing, bud?
I'm feeling that competitive edge.
Ooh, that competitive. You got the juices flowing this afternoon?
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
All right. Well, 12 will put you in a tie with Matt. 13 or more will put you in the lead. You ready?
Absolutely.
All right. Here we go. This is a kind of cryptocurrency.
Bitcoin.
This is a former Steelers quarterback, won 4 Super Bowls in the 70s.
Terry Bradshaw.
This is the former head coach at LSU in Kansas, wore a funny hat.
Les Miles.
Yeah, this is the Lakers center right now. Played at Kentucky.
Anthony Davis.
This is the Bard. He wrote Romeo and Juliet.
Shakespeare. William Shakespeare.
This is the Brewers and the Bucks where they play the city.
Milwaukee.
This is a former NFL coach and commentator. It has a video game named after him.
John Madden.
This is a pizza company. It's also a gambling game. They used to have the Noi.
Domino's.
Yeah, this is a country that we just got out of. In the Middle East. Yeah, this is what happens at the end of baseball season. The two best teams play in the
World Series.
Yeah, this is Lefty of golf.
Phil Mickelson.
This is Harlem's basketball team.
Globetrotters.
This is the King of Pop's sister. She did Control and
Janet Jackson. Nation.
Yeah, this is what you get to prevent a disease, a shot you get.
Vaccine.
Yeah, this is a type of doll they... Oh, all right. That was pretty good, too.
That was
pretty good,
that was
too.
14.
Yeah. Woo! Nick, the competitive juices were flowing. That was
my wife just walked in, so she's really impressed.
Oh yeah! Well done, Nick. Woo hoo! All right, Hold right there. Hold right there. We got to bring in Brent. He's not out of the. He's not out of this thing yet. Nick's feeling himself a little bit. Mrs. Nick is happy too. I love that. Nick's
that
wife.
Good.
What's up, Brent? How you doing, man?
Pretty good, gentlemen.
All right. You heard what just happened. Nick stepped up, hit a 14, didn't pass on any of them. And so you got to get 14. You got to get 14 to advance to a playoff with Nick. 15 would win it and send you to the championship on maybe Thursday.
Let's do it.
He took it. There you go. Take a deep breath. Get ready. And let's do this thing. All right, Brent, here we go. It's a college in Waco, Texas, where RG3 played.
Baylor.
The head coach of the UCLA used to be with Oregon.
John Wooden.
And
Football. Brian
Kelly. Football.
Pass.
All right, this is where the Packers play, the stadium.
Lambeau Field.
This is another name for the Academy Awards nickname.
Oscars.
Yeah, this is Detroit's hockey team.
Red Wings.
This was Trump's vice president.
Pence. Mike Pence.
Yeah, this is a shape with three sides.
A triangle.
This is a former basketball player who just passed away from the Celtics back in the day.
Bill Russell.
Yeah, this is a green vegetable. You chop it up and put it in salad.
Cucumber.
Yeah, this is a tennis tournament in Paris.
French Open.
This is a quarterback of the Cardinals. Just signed a big contract. Played at Oklahoma.
Kyler Murray.
Yeah, this is Mississippi State's coach, the Pirate.
Mike Leach.
This is a movie with Simba and Mufasa.
Lion King.
This is a race in open wheel.
Indy 500. No.
We missed that one. How many did you get?
12.
Oh.
So close.
We passed on Chip Kelly.
Yep.
That's what got you. Would it have helped if I said
that
Eagles? What I said UCLA and Oregon. I should have said Eagles, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was off on that one.
Yeah, you were thinking basketball, and then you had Brian Kelly. Like, it was on the tip of your tongue. We just couldn't get there fast enough.
Yeah.
Good shot, though, Nick. You gave it, Brent, you gave it the old college try. That's all we can ask for. Better luck next year.
Yep. All right. Good luck, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, Matt and Brent will still be getting wings from Buckethead Tavern. But Nick... Bring him back in, Bear. Nick is today's winner. He moves on perhaps Thursday. We're still – it depends a little bit what happens tomorrow. It's Matty Ice, it's Nick, and tomorrow's winner for the championship. Nick, congratulations.
It feels great, but the stress, it's just going to shave another year off my life between now and then. But it will all be worth it if I can pull it off against the reigning champ.
Is the adrenaline flowing right now?
Oh, I'm so jacked up.
I love it. I love it.
My wife's in the background trying to find something clever to say.
Your wife, it sounds like you're the king of the castle tonight, Nick. Well done, sir.
Let's not get too ahead of ourselves.
All right.
This is the same Nick and wife that frequently calls in a little inebriated to the voluntary reaction.
Okay. That narrows it down.
Yeah.
Mrs. Nick's like, let's pump the brakes and see what when Thursday, and we'll talk, big boy. All right, well done, sir. Hang right there. All get right. Your information. I guess we've already got it, but
yeah, we do.
You are in the championship round. Congratulations to Nick. Well done. A score of 14, which is what Matty Ice had yesterday to get into the championship round.
It's going to take, I think, minimum 14. To win it all, I'm putting that number at 16 or 17 to win it. I really think so.
This semifinals has been outstanding. It really has.
Edge of your seat stuff.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Like this last one, like I was like counting down to Brent. Like I was listening to how the music was going. I was like, Brent, you got this. Like you can get
I was just like I was trying to will him along on Chip Kelly. Like it just
wasted too much time on that one.
It's like Bear said. Once
well, he
you know.
Knew it. He when you yeah, when it doesn't you matter. Know it and it's not there.
You just got to say pass and move on to the next when you can't afford the time.
I don't know if it would have mattered.
It might have. That was a good 3 seconds.
What there. Did? What did the first?
See, I
guy...
keep track of their split times because I can see how much time's left on the clock for real.
Well, if you have to pass, I mean, once we get here, like, because that's, you're wasting 5 seconds minimum. Like, the Nick didn't pass at all.
No.
What did the first guy passed on Scooby-Doo? Like, that was a hard one. And some of this is just luck of the draw, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Nick is low-key, because he had, it's not like he had a hard, he had Bitcoin in there. He had a basketball, Anthony Davis, freaking Bill Shakespeare, Russell. Man. I mean, yeah, like, he had some hard ones, dude.
Bill Shakespeare.
Old Billy Shakespeare.
Yeah.
You had Janet Jackson. Like, that was hard, dude.
Yeah. Michael Jackson's sister? I didn't think that one was hard.
Well, see, I can't say Michael Jackson. I had to say the King of Pop, sister. Like, I don't think I said Michael Jackson, did I? Wouldn't have mattered.
He I don't think
13.
So. He would have still won.
I can't believe we've made it this far without any sort of raging. Just
there was one minor that in years past would have been a controversy, but
you're not even going to bring it up because it's a new bear.
Yeah.
And you've done a lot better today after yesterday. You know, you were dangerously close to becoming completely unhinged.
Let's not talk about yesterday.
No, yeah, we're moving forward.
I'm going to talk about that. Marty Ice, any of that stuff.
Marty Ice?
Yeah. My phone corrected it from Matty Ice to Marty Ice when I was texting him about his time. He got a little offended, so I'm just going to leave it. I'm just going to adopt Marty Ice.
Yeah. We shouldn't bring it up, should we?
Bring what up?
I'm just saying, Bear, I think you have some concerns that are just unnecessary.
I think that would be, like, if I were your therapist, that would be my overarching advice to you. I think you have some concerns that are unnecessary.
About what?
Yes.
As we spoke about,
why? Yeah. Why? I don't.
You said
I
why?
Don't, I don't. No, I don't. Let me take it. I'm gonna retract it.
Okay.
I don't care.
By the way, speaking of Kyler Murray, this shout out to Brad for providing us with this nugget. Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray still dealing with some wrist soreness, and backup quarterback Colt McCoy is dealing with a tired arm. Cliff Kingsbury said today that in Friday's preseason opener for the Cardinals against the Cincinnati Bengals, the quarterbacks that will feature are one, Trace McSorley, and
Penn State,
and yes, wait for it, Jarrett Garantano. JG, he's back, baby. He's back.
Does Cliff Kingsbury have any idea what he's doing right now?
You can check out. Yeah, he's signing his own death warrant, right?
He's checking in.
Hashtag buyout life. Cliff Kingsbury be back in the college game next year. Team be lining up to hire Cliff Kingsbury back in the college game here at the end of the season.
Oh, he'll look great in practice. Be incredible.
You can check out anytime you want, Cliff Kingsbury, but you can never leave. Cliff, ladies and gentlemen, has checked in to the Hotel Garantano.
Should I do some research and watch it when to go, see what happens?
We do our research.
Yeah, Marcus. Please watch the Jarrett Garantano experience. Report back.
You watch it for us so that the rest of us don't have to. Jarrett Garantano is about to play professional football, ladies and gentlemen. It's preseason. He's getting paid.
How many of us, including us, our listeners, other employees here at the station, swore him down he would never take a – I guess it's just preseason.
He's getting paid to play professional football, bro.
It's not a meaningful snap yet.
He's going to
Be honest. Did any of us expect him to make it this far?
No.
He's getting a whiff. This is the proverbial cup of coffee right now. If it never goes beyond this.
He'll at least played in preseason.
He's doing the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I get, you know, Murray's going to be the starter. McCoy's going to be the backup. I mean, he's battling Trace McSorley for the
third quarterback position.
I guess so.
Do we pull for him over that, you know?
That do guy, we pull for him?
Yeah, over McSorley.
I don't know.
That's
a good question. Do we? I don't know. It's not my team.
Do we have something against Trace McSorley?
Other than he's a Penn Stater?
I mean, that doesn't bother me.
Anything more than that? I don't like Penn State.
I don't particularly like them, but I don't. I mean,
were you too good to root for Hotel Garantano?
I just never want to see them in a bowl game again. Every time we see them in a bowl game, it's just awful. Just total debacle.
Complete disaster.
How is Colt McCoy still playing?
And he looked good.
Tyler Bray played forever.
Colt McCoy had a good game for Arizona last year, too. No, it's just weird because, I mean, like,
he's a journeyman quarterback.
He got drafted in 2010, third rounder out of Texas. And he's just.
Well, he had major concussion issues, didn't he, when he first got in?
Wasn't he the one that almost got, like, during the – was it Florida he was playing the national championship game and he got decapitated?
It's against Alabama, yeah. He got hurt and Garrett Gilbert came in and basically ruined his confidence in one half.
Ruined his confidence? Well, he just concussed the hell out of him.
No, Gilbert came in. Remember, Garrett Gilbert was a five-star, can't-miss quarterback prospect.
Do not remember that kid at all.
Well, I mean
– was Gilbert the
– He's on a roster somewhere right now. He transferred to Texas Tech, but Texas was playing Alabama in the 2009 national championship game, and it was going to be a good game. Like, we were all hyped up for it, and Colt McCoy got concussed in the first half. And
he got blistered, dude.
And Gilbert came in. I think he was a true freshman, had no experience, and, you know, just got fed to the wolves. And like, after that, like,
national championship game against Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, after that, like, he couldn't get it together at Texas and transferred to Texas Tech, and I think he's on a roster somewhere now.
Garrett Gilbert, currently he is looking at a practice squad potential with the Las Vegas Raiders.
There you go. Garrett freaking Gilbert.
He's also somehow a Super Bowl champion. Oh, because of the Patriots, that's why. Never mind.
Let's take a quick break. Congratulations to Nick. He advances. Survive and advance. The name of the game. What you talking about, Champions League. When we continue, final segment of the show coming up. Speak now, forever hold your peace. We're going to talk to our guy, Martin, when we continue. And perhaps you at 865-546-8200. 546-8200, your number to hop on. Final segment of The Drive coming up. Back to wrap things up after this. Some more JG news.
Oh, man. Really?
Yeah. Tyler Drake of AZ Sports covers the Cardinals, says red and white practice standouts per Cliff Kingsbury today included Trace McSorley, Keontae Ingram, JJ Watt, Zach Allen, and Jarrett Garantano. This is how it's going to be, right? He's never actually going to play, but he's going to be.
You look fantastic
on
in practice.
Every training camp roster. He's going to be on every roster in the league for the next 32 years.
He'll be on practice squads.
Go around and around. It's your turn this year, Browns fans. It's your turn this year. Titans fans.
Everybody
check coming
in.
To you, Jacksonville. The JG show.
See, I can't see him without the. Anytime I see him, any clips of him, his picture, hear his name.
JG
strolling.
That's
what I hear.
JG strolling into camp in the year 2042 for the Las Vegas Raiders. You're going to get under center. 52 years old. I'm on that Tom Brady TB12 diet. And I think this is the year I finally make a roster.
Will he do his Robin Hood thing Friday night? Down 35 to Alabama. Man.
Oh, dude.
He did take the most vicious lick I've ever seen. Yeah, or probably the most vicious lick of the last, 15, 20 years? That shot against Alabama a few years ago down there.
That.
The Rashawn Golden game. It was
right
before he held it, and then he You got Malachi Crunch.
Come on, dude. That was nothing compared to Nathan Peterman's crash test dummy routine against Georgia down there.
Ooh.
He got bent like – his legs got bent backwards by one guy, and his torso got bent the other way by another guy. It's like, I don't think a human body's supposed to bend like that.
And you had Maurer.
Gets up looking out his ear holes, thumbs all jacked up. It's like, Jesus, what are we doing to this poor kid?
Maurer did the whole scorpion pose, and then
we've had some dudes get racked.
Maurer got damn near killed by that
kid
from Georgia.
Did you see the story about Hendon Hooker getting his teeth busted out last year against Bama?
I didn't see this. Are people surprised that your teeth could get knocked out playing Alabama?
I'm surprised that
nobody said anything about it.
Nobody said anything about it. B, he didn't come out of the game. And C, like, he threw at least one long touchdown after that to
it was on that cheap. They didn't even call a penalty on the play.
No.
It was a cheap shot on the sideline. But the guy jacked him.
Roll down tide.
That Bama privilege. Happens every year. It happened this year, man. Somebody get hurt playing them. No penalty. At least that's just one game. I was thinking about this. I had one of those shower thoughts today. You ever just things come to you in the shower?
Oh, yeah.
I just got irrationally mad today in the shower thinking about all the teams that are going to be faking injuries this year.
You can't. Why buy that trouble now?
Because it's going to happen.
Yeah,
and you're going to get mad at the time. I'm getting myself prepared for it because I know it's going to happen, and we're mad.
You'll probably be trying to get me to calm down because I won't be mad about it now. I'll go out crazy during the game.
It's going to happen. It's probably going to cost us a game at some point because somebody's going to be as desperate as Kiffin was last year and realize that they can do it. They can get away with it. Nothing's going to happen, and it's a winning strategy.
Oh, especially if it's I think it'll be an SEC school.
You think Narduzzi will do it?
I don't know.
He's supposed to be like hard-nosed, defensive, old-school guy.
I don't know. Saban didn't really do it that much, did he? Do you remember Bama doing it?
I don't think so.
Some coaches just won't. You know, obviously, a lot of coaches won't go to the links. Kiffin will. Do you see Kirby doing it? If we started, that's the thing. It's got to be if you flip it around. You imagine being on the receiving end when it's firing on all cylinders, when Heupel's got it going. He's got Heupel's figured out. He's in the defensive coordinator's head up in the booth, and he knows what that guy's calling, how to exploit it. When they start rolling, that's got to be a horrible feeling as a defensive coordinator trying to stop this thing.
A horrible feeling as a Tennessee fan knowing that – it's so underhanded and shady, but
– Oh, yeah.
The NCAA and the SEC, like nobody – if it passes the buck, nobody's going to do anything about it.
No, because we're the only we're the most successful. Who else runs this
that's
speed
a good
offense?
Point. Maybe if it catches on and other teams start doing it and people start rolling on Nick Saban or Dabo Swinney or one of the
– he'll keep him trying to hire Golish.
He's not – people aren't going to do anything if people are doing it to Ole Miss or us. But if people start doing that against Alabama or against Ohio State or against Oklahoma or somebody like that, then maybe something will get done about it.
Yeah. But I think this offense is – I think you're going to see more and more teams go to it because it's such an advantage.
Let's get Martin in here next. Martin, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Yes, Russell.
Martin.
Who is the 6'11 kid that Phil said we're going to get in basketball recruiting?
He's open. Is it Estrella?
I don't think that Phil said we're going to get him. I think it's looking good. I think there are some good vibes now in the Tennessee camp. But you're talking about J.P. Estrella, 6'11", 220 pounds, from up in Maine, actually. And he is going to announce his decision the day after the Ball State game, so September 2nd. And it's down to Tennessee and Iowa for him.
Yes. And Russell?
Martin.
You remember me telling you about Dylan Sampson when he committed? About him averaging over 12 yards a carry as a junior?
You were on the Dylan Sampson bandwagon before anybody else, Martin. You called that shot, no doubt.
And you know who else called it for me?
Who's that?
My brother.
Oh, wow. The genes in this family. I mean,
my brother knows what he's talking about.
You got any stock tips or gambling advice, picks you want to share with me right now, Martin, while we got you on the line here? You're on a roll.
Tell me about Walter Payton, Bo Jackson, and Jerry Rice.
Walter Payton, Bo Jackson, Jerry Rice.
Three of the all-time.
Dylan Sampson. I'm with it.
Yeah.
That's my Mount Rushmore. Let's go, baby.
I just wanted to know that boy's name. We're recruiting out of Maine.
Well, J.P. Estrella.
J.P.?
Yep.
All right, I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, buddy. I mean, noted basketball hotbed, Maine.
Around Bahaba.
I've always wanted to go up there, man. People say it's beautiful up there.
Yeah, this story keeps popping up on my Facebook feed or Twitter feed or something on social media. There's a cabin for sale, and it's on its own island.
But nice.
The guy that it's pretty primitive. Can't really stay there during the winter. I mean, it's right out on the tip. You're basically in the Atlantic Ocean. It's only like 300,000.
Probably real cold up there in the winter. It's practically Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets really cold. Have you seen the previews for the new Salem's Lot? That looks absolutely terrifying. The first one freaked me the hell out.
That's Stephen King?
Yeah, about the Dracula, the vampire story.
Oh, it's not called Salem's Lot. It's called – the previews were on the show Better Call Saul, right?
Yeah.
It's like The Invitation or something?
Is that what – they rename it?
I don't know.
I always fast forward through all the commercials on Saul.
Me too. We shouldn't admit that, should we?
Probably not.
What we do.
No.
Never fast forward through the commercials.
Well, I mean, everybody knows because, I mean, if you DVR something, that was a game changer for me. Where it automatically stops.
How good is Better Call Saul right now, bro?
It's every bit as good. It's just in a different way.
Yeah. It
holds
bad.
Its own.
It's unique. It's so unique. It's a really unique show.
It delivered every bit as much as Breaking Bad did their last two or three episodes. It's worthy of being.
It's just
so different.
Last night was really good.
It's about as pro gets. So.
Did you watch last night, Marcus?
Yeah.
So Kim is a brunette, you know.
Yes.
A brunette.
Gentlemen prefer blondes. I'm not a gentleman.
You're a scoundrel.
Kim Wexler as a blonde. I'm like, not calling her ugly.
Even wearing like the blue jean mom skirt. Tennis shoes.
Yep.
And the.
Yep. Yep.
The bangs? Really?
Yeah. But.
Is it going to be hard for you guys once the last episode comes out?
It always is. We'll be in a little bit of a show hole. I mean,
say goodbye to Bob Odenkirk until his next adventure.
I'm just saying, and like, no spoiler here. I mean, because we don't know what's going to happen, and that's another beautiful part about this show is just the unpredictability of it. You just never know what's going to happen in from episode to episode.
See, now I was watching the Talking Saul afterwards, and they had mentioned just something in passing about another spinoff that would work because it would be set, you know.
What is it?
Kim.
Oh. After all this?
Yeah.
I just think they won't do it. I know everybody associated with that brand is ready to move on, but I'm just saying, let's leave this here thought on the way out the door for the handful of you that are watching Better Call Saul like the three of us. Just saying, Saul in prison? Would be a great show.
Oh, yeah.
Be a great show. Just wheeling and dealing in prison. Yeah.
Trying to stay alive.
Yeah. He's tried to stay alive. But,
he's a survivor. But also Saul's a cockroach.
Climbing the ladder behind bars.
Oh, 100%.
Engaging in prison politics. Reaching his tentacles outside the prison into the real world. Like, there's so many possibilities there.
Total,
so good.
Total cockroach survivor. I love the character.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Another day. Another dollar. Another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime coming up next from 6 till 8 for Marcus Young and Bear. I'm Houston Kress. Have a great night, everyone.